And once again, you're listening to the Potter Pensive Podcast. Myself, Adam, Heather, and Sarah are here in the studio today for take two of our Deathly Hallows Part 1 film commentary. So say hello, folks.
Hey.
Hello.
Hello. How are you all doing?
Excellent.
Excellent. Are you stoked to watch? Are you, like, kind of, is this kind of surreal to you guys that we're actually watching Deathly Hallows Part 1? Like, we've gone through six movies already. Well, yeah,
I'm really excited. I haven't seen this movie in ages.
Yeah, me too. I've been kind of holding off watching it because I knew I'd be watching it with you guys. So
that's true. I even tried not to watch them all on ABC Family the numerous times they played them for the 25 days of Christmas.
They do that so many times.
It's like
yes.
It's like every
it's like,
time
oh, St. Patrick's Day, Harry Potter Marathon. Oh, yeah, a twig fell on the ground, Harry Potter Marathon.
Well, like, there's been numerous times where we've talked to you, Sarah, and you've been like, oh, did you guys watch Harry Potter and ABC Family? And we're all like, again? What the heck?
It's always a Harry Potter weekend.
Yeah, no kidding, no kidding. But I find these commentaries a lot more fun than ABC Family, just saying.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
They have commercials. We don't.
We don't have commercials. True. We've just got really insightful, slightly immature discussion about the movies.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Like you're sitting what's on more the couch fun than next that? To us.
That's right. So, to all the listeners, oh, first of all, before we get into the commentary, I just wanted to congratulate Sarah on her wedding engagement.
Woohoo!
So congratulations. Yes.
Yeah.
And we were when we did take one, when we tried to record this a few days ago, you said that you wanted to do a cruise wedding or a beach wedding or something.
Or a beach wedding. I would love to have a beach wedding because I do want my toes in the sand. And Heather had a great point about how I could picture it as Shell Cottage.
Oh,
like, that
yes.
was such a good point.
Because she's marrying a guy named Bill.
Which yeah. is so cool. I never put that together. It was
that's,
awesome.
That's really coincidental.
It is kind of.
Yeah, that's
the
awesome.
The cruise wedding would be cool too. It would just be a whole lot easier because it's all inclusive and I don't have to transport a wedding cake. So,
oh, that's true.
No, you yeah. know what? Forget the cruise. Get a night bus wedding.
Oh, now I would do that. Of yeah, course, we don't really have double deckers here, but we could do a party bus.
So when are you thinking of having this wedding?
Actually, pretty soon. We're thinking, of course, it depends on if the venues are available, but I'm thinking in April.
Oh, that's close.
Wow.
Yes.
Awesome.
Well, you know, we've been together for 7 years, so yeah. it's...
Oh, so it's about time.
Yes. It's kind of like, oh, you finally, like, put the ring on there, now I better, like, you know, either jump on it before he backs out, or I start to say, ooh, I don't know, 7-year itch. No, I'm
yeah,
kidding.
7-year itch. Well, congratulations. I think that's really great.
Thank you.
Really, really awesome. Excited for you. I hope the wedding goes incredibly well. Maybe, you know, if we ask nicely, you'll be able to set up a few computers around the wedding area.
Ooh,
and then
and
so
like
we
a
can
live
join.
Feed.
Yeah, let's yeah. do live commentary on Sarah's
through...
wedding.
Yeah, yeah, right. You guys can download the special edition episode of Sarah's wedding.
Actually, you know what? That's not a half bad idea for, like, the people who won't be able to make it. Like, my grandparents in Kentucky. That's
oh, yeah.
not a bad idea.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. And you can set us up on a computer, and we can watch it live.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be really cool. That'd be really modern. Like, what wedding does that, you know?
That's true. You guys will have to have, like, little champagnes so you can do the toast with us.
That's right. That's right. Anyways, I think we should get into this movie now. So, I'm just going to give the spiel to all the listeners. So the way this works is, if you don't know already, or if this is your first commentary with us, you pull out your DVD and you stick it in your player wherever you're going to watch it, and I want you to freeze the movie right at 00, right? So right when the screen is black, it's right before the Warner Brothers sign. Nothing should be happening. How long are your guys' movies?
Let me check again.
2 hours, 25 minutes and 56 seconds.
Okay,
mine
yeah.
Mine is
good.
2 hours, 26 minutes and 4 seconds.
Okay, mine too. So we're all the same, basically.
Yeah.
So that's good. So your movie should be that length, and if not, you may have to. If it's not, then you're living in a different part of the world, and you may have to, you know, either pause frequently and wait for us to catch up, or vice versa. I don't know. Fast
and
forward.
And please make sure that the movie's language is in a language that you speak.
That's right. Make sure it's English.
That would be helpful.
Although you're not really going to be listening to the movie itself. You're going to, I mean, if you want, you're going to turn down the volume and you're going to be listening to us give the commentary on it. So,
and do all of the lines. I'm playing Dobby today.
Okay. I think I'll do Hagrid. Hagrid is fun.
Is he even in this movie?
Yeah, he's in this movie.
I don't remember.
5 minutes. I don't have much of a part. But anyways, so yeah, put your player or put your DVD in the player. Pause it at zero because that's our starting point, and we're gonna do a countdown. We're gonna go 3, 2, 1, play. All right, and make sure you've got popcorn and chips and everything like that. You're nice and comfy.
Beef jerky.
Yes,
beef and jerky. Beef jerky.
And your Harry Potter blanket.
And the Harry Potter blanket. Yeah. So, Deathly Hallows Part 1. Here we go. So it's like I said, it's gonna go 3, 2, 1, play. So play after one. Okay? You guys ready?
Yep.
Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1, play. Did it work?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Cool.
So the Warner Brothers sign should just be creeping up. Oh, the Warner Brothers sign.
Oh.
The best part of any Harry Potter movie.
Really?
Well, no.
Forget Daniel Radcliffe.
Forget the whole story. No, I remember seeing this in theaters, and the Warner Brothers sign, like, rusts as we get closer to it.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, that was so cool.
And falls apart. That's kind of cool.
And it falls apart, yeah.
Or, you know, like, you can start to see it fraying at the edges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. And then we just get these close-up eyes of Rufus Scrimgeour. We don't have no idea who he is yet, if we're just movie watchers.
Mm-hmm. That's true. If you haven't read the books, you have no clue.
Yeah. What do you guys think of the casting decision for Rufus Scrimgeour?
I like him. He's just creepy enough, but still a politician.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tend to agree, yeah.
That's really good. He quivers a lot.
Yeah, he does.
Probably because he's under the Imperius curse.
Oh, maybe. Oh, that's a good observation. I didn't even think of that. Now, I'm really happy that they put this Hermione scene in the movie because I think it was only mentioned in the book. And it's a really powerful scene, actually.
I cried. And I think it's an extremely important part for her character and to show how invested she is as well in this, you know, journey.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree. Could you imagine just wiping your parents' memories?
Oh, no.
Like, and so they have no idea who you are? My God. Now, there was a deleted scene that was taken out, obviously, from this movie, and that's with Dudley saying goodbye to Harry.
Oh, I'm so mad they took that out. Also, Petunia's goodbye.
Yeah, that's right. But it's a deleted scene, so I'm happy they still filmed it, right?
I love Aunt Petunia's character, though.
Yeah, I do, too. But I really like this opening montage. It, you know, maybe, even if it is a little bit too quick, in my opinion, I do like it.
I think it was a good adaptation to get the viewer to understand what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Oh, Emma Watson.
You're so funny.
What if she forgot to, like, delete a picture of herself, and so they just... Like, her parents just wake up thinking they're these completely different people, and there's just this random picture of, like, a 3-year-old child.
They're like, who is this girl in their house?
When did we take a picture with this kid? I don't remember this. Is there any way that you can unobliviate people's memories?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's good.
Hermione goes and does it after the war.
Oh, does she?
Okay, good.
Yeah, she goes to find them in Australia.
Where did you hear that from?
I think it was something that Joe said afterwards.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
In some interview or another.
Oh my gosh. So creepy. You got that music in there that's like, we mean business, this movie.
Yeah, right.
This is the beginning of the end.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to get a little technical here and say that the film editors could really have lightened up the scene a little bit. Visually. It's hard to see anything.
I agree. I hate when movies are too dark.
It's kind of like the cave scene at the end of the sixth one where you couldn't really make anything out at all.
Yeah.
It's true. It makes me keep moving my screen to see if I'm really, like, seeing it at its lightest point, you know?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Not really well done.
And then, you know, when you're watching a movie and, like, you just see your face in the background?
Yes.
It's so annoying.
Doesn't do any good.
No.
Yeah. Alan Rickman has gained a few pounds since the first one. This is a really good scene.
I was just going to say, I think...
Shh, I'm listening to his voice.
Oh, sorry.
I love it.
But really, though, like, it's a... I mean, I was really shocked by how drawn out this scene was in the movie. Like, I expected it to be 2 minutes tops.
Well, it is an entire chapter.
It is, yeah, and they did it justice.
I like the addition of Pious Thickness to it, though, because then you don't need all the exposition later that he's, you know, under the Imperius curse and working for Voldemort.
Yeah, that's true. He's under the Imperius curse right now, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
No, wait, I forgot. Was that Scrimgeour or Thickness that we saw at the start of the movie?
That was Scrimgeour.
Oh, okay. So he wasn't under the Imperius curse, my mistake.
Yeah. Oh. Helena Bonham Carter is the creepiest woman in Hollywood.
Yeah.
That's kind of true, yeah. Still the perfect Bellatrix, still.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think the Charity Burbage. I mean, okay, the way this scene was filmed was, I was very happy with it because it was exactly the way I pictured it in my head, you know? Mm-hmm. And maybe that could attest to Joe's writing, maybe, but, you know, it was perfect, like, spot on. Even, like, the color of it was exactly how I pictured it in my head. So, I love it when movies do that.
I agree.
Very satisfying.
It kind of messes with your brain, so to speak, when it doesn't really go with what you already envisioned anyway, you know?
Well, yeah, it does. Yeah, you're right. I just want to bring to light here that this is the first time we see Lucius as really vulnerable, you know? Well, maybe we did in the fourth one a little bit at the end there, but he's pretty terrified here.
I wonder how much that snake cost at the end of his wand. Like, you can't buy those from Ollivander.
It was custom made. He got it from Borgin and Burke. One thing that they do in this movie, which I think it's maybe a good thing, I'm not sure, is they really show beforehand, or you know, they give you more obvious hints about where Snape's loyalties lie. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, like they give, like you can see, like Alan Rickman in his acting, right, on his face that he's, you know,
a little.
I mean, he's not just straight-faced like he is in the book, right? And we're left guessing as to whether he's evil or not. Like,
right.
We can kind of tell that, you know, he's not feeling too good about this in this scene here.
No, but I don't think I don't think he flinches.
He does here at the end. Watch him.
Oh, does he?
Yeah. He does his little Alan Rickman nose thing. Here, watch him. He's going to do it. There, see? Was I wrong? Come on.
He closes his nostrils a little.
I didn't see anything, honestly.
Hey, okay, fine. Maybe it was just me. I don't know, but there have been clues.
Oh, look at his fingernails.
Nagini's so cool.
Could really cut those things.
Fingernails are so disgusting.
Oh my god, I love this scene. Just like seeing all the Death Eaters lined up. And then...
Yep.
They're not thrilled by the snake either. They're all like, oh.
I love the snake. I think it's such a good job. And I also like how they bring Dumbledore back here and show us.
Remind us of what happened.
Yeah. But it's good, though. It's just reminding.
It's necessary, but I don't know if it's good.
Well, by good, I mean necessary, yeah. But, like, we get a glimpse of Dumbledore. Yeah, we get a glimpse of Dumbledore falling, right? And then Harry's looking in the mirror, and all of a sudden we see what we think is Dumbledore's eye. They're trying to make that connection, I guess.
Which, yes, I was just going to say, I guess that's what that's trying to say there.
Yeah.
I love that whole thing throughout the book. Like, it annoyed me so much, just going, oh my god, who is that? Whose eye is that? And, like, it kept coming back.
I love it when books do that.
I really wanted to believe it was Sirius, but...
Yeah. So, I have a question. I don't know if you guys know the answer to this, but, the house that they used here, is this the same house that they used for the first one? Or the same set?
I think so.
I think it is. Like, it's pretty...
They kept most of their sets. Like, they would change them and bring them into other things. Like, the Chamber of Secrets became the Ministry.
Yeah, that's true. This is at Leavesden, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I really like how they brought back the little guys that he plays with
in the the little knights in the cupboard.
Yeah. So many
scene I love.
Yeah, and so many throwbacks in this movie. And the second one, for God's sake.
Oh, there. Okay, Hagrid, isn't it? Oh, Mad Eye.
I did read that this scene was so complex that Daniel Radcliffe, I think, he used like over 90 takes for just one shot.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, like he has to play. Could you imagine how stressful the scene was to film, though, for Dan? Like.
Oh, yeah.
They had to do Yeah, so many takes, and he'd have to impersonate everybody in that room.
Basically. Right, like each and every person.
I know that he couldn't get Fleur's bra off when he was being her. She was just stuck, and he couldn't get it off.
That's awesome.
Don't look at me, I'm hideous. Hey, did Steve Kloves do the script?
I think he did all of them.
There was one he didn't do, though. I don't think he did the fifth one.
I'm not sure.
Or something. You know what? When we finish all of these film commentaries... I'm going to sit down and watch the first one with our film commentary.
That's what I was thinking.
And then we'll make a commentary on our commentary.
Yeah, we'll make a commentary out of that. It'll be like Inception.
Oh, yeah. A commentary within a commentary.
Yeah. Oh, was that a line in the book?
No.
Tastes like goblin piss.
I would have laughed out loud if it was.
I would have groaned.
Because I'm sure Mad-Eye has tasted goblin piss before.
Yeah, right.
I love watching them all change to the right height.
I know, it's so funny. And then you see...
Their facial expressions are good.
And then you see Dan's face on Emma's body just like that.
Imagine watching everybody change into you.
Oh, that would be terrifying. That would be humiliating.
Be insane.
Because, you know, my body is my body, and that would be absolutely embarrassing and horrifying for me.
Yeah.
Strip. I was going to make a dirty comment, but I refrained.
Oh, good of you.
I have mints next to me.
Yeah, that's right.
Just pretty cool how they did that scene, though. It made, like, I mean, it all just looks so...
Yeah.
It like looks, it could really happen.
Yeah, it looks so real. And I was just, that last scene there, I was watching all of Dan's facial expressions, and they're all spot on, in my opinion.
Yeah.
He did a really good job. He's really grown as an actor throughout this whole series, you know?
Yeah, I think so, too.
Not so much as a person. He's only, like, 5'6", though.
He's a little shorty.
He's a little shorty.
Look at Harry, badass biker boy.
Yeah, straight. Actually, no, I think Dan was the perfect Harry, though, because Harry's scrawny and not very big, so.
Yeah.
Like, physically, I mean, I think he was the perfect Harry.
Mm.
What are you looking at?
I like the way he flies on his broom. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And bam, chaos.
This part is not very cool at all.
I love this part.
Well, I mean, like, it's cool, but not. It's not a cool situation.
Oh, no, yeah. No, absolutely not.
So I'm watching this with the subtitles on, and none of the Death Eaters have names. They're just Death Eater 1, Death Eater 2, Death Eater 3.
Yeah, that's interesting. This was great. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, just, that was really cool.
This whole action sequence is perfect. Oh, I could not have asked for a better.
No, I was impressed. I like this part.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so tense.
It reminded me of the one in the fifth movie.
Yeah.
Where they fly under the bridge.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
And they go upside down like this, and it's just.
I love that.
Oh, Hagrid's out.
Aw, man.
And I must say, I think we've talked about this before, but a much more satisfying way for Hedwig to die in the movie than in the book.
True, but no. I still hate it.
It's well,
so
yeah.
Stupid. So stupid.
That
everybody
Hedwig
in
dies?
The theater was like, you know.
No, I thought it was good. Hedwig died defending Harry, and that's how it gave away Harry's...
I mean, I agree, but, you know, everybody's so... You're still in shock when you see it happen,
oh, yeah,
even
yeah,
though you know it's coming. It's like, oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
I'm a happy ending kind of girl, you know?
Yeah. Well, luckily this story has a happy ending.
It does, but Hedwig doesn't.
Yeah.
That's... Yeah. She's an owl heaven.
So what is this?
True, that's true.
The eighth or ninth time we've had Priory and Cantatum here.
That's pretty good effect, I think.
It was awesome. Voldemort in the power lines, like that is so cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's Muggle magic right there.
That is, yeah. Gonna go for it. Oh, so good. So good.
Molly!
As we watch this movie, you're gonna notice that I have really nothing but praise for this movie. They just did so many things right. Which
thank
is
God.
Quite a... Thank God. Which is quite a contrast from the sixth one in my
opinion. Yeah, I was just gonna say.
So happy. Oh, Ginny.
I still hate that they're so awkward in this movie. Or in any, on all the movies, Harry and Ginny.
I still hate that they couldn't, like, transfer her personality from the books over to the movies.
Yeah, yes, that's true. I agree. That's true, yeah. Yeah, the Ginny in the movie seems way too forced, I guess, in my opinion.
I feel like sometimes they can pull off some of the, like, tough girl in school Ginny kind of thing. But as far as when you get into her, like, you know, her softer side, so to speak,
it's just uncomfortable.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
That wasn't even in the movies.
In the books, you mean?
No, in the movies, the Grindelwald outfit.
Oh, yeah, I know. I can't even see Kingsley. Like, I really. I think I see the tip of his nose, and that's about it.
And that's about it.
Oh,
well,
I must have handled mine better, because I can see him. I can even see a little bit of white around his eyes.
Oh, okay.
A little bit. Just a little bit.
Yeah, I see. He has a little bit of oil on his nose. I can see that.
Yeah, his nose is a little lighter.
Oh, I think that's a really good look for Hermione.
Oh, gosh. Hair and
clothes.
Oh, Hermione. I will never stop having a crush on Emma Watson.
We know.
Yes, we're very
really
aware.
Like, oh, my gosh. So in the book, wasn't the entirety of George's ear taken off?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was just a hole.
Yeah, it doesn't even look that bad. Just saying. Like, there's too much blood for the injury that they've shown.
I don't know. Heads bleed a lot.
Well, okay, yeah, that makes
like
sense.
Like, a lot. Sense.
That's true. But I don't know. It looks like his ear is still there.
Yeah, kind of, but it kind of looks like it's been pushed back. It's just hanging there.
Oh, okay.
Again, the humor in the midst of the crisis, you know. I love it.
Yeah.
And then that.
And Mad-Eye's gone.
You know, I really wish that we got to see Charlie, like, at least once in the movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
I agree.
Was he in the picture when they went to Egypt?
No. Oh, yeah, he was. Yep. Yeah. But that was it. I remember that. That was it, though.
So there's just some mysterious guy walking around saying, oh, yeah, I was Charlie Weasley.
Yep, pretty much. You saw me in a picture for two seconds.
Just once.
I wonder if he's even put in the credits.
I don't know. You know? I'll have to check.
I don't know. Do people in pictures get credits? That's a good question.
Well, it was a moving picture, though.
Yeah.
That's true, so you would think you'd get some kind of credit.
He had some action in there, so. They flash back this whole Dumbledore movie 5 thing so many times.
Maybe that's why they had to split it.
Oh, God.
No, but really, I think the script was something like 500 pages long. I think that
really
was part of the reason why they had to split it.
Well, yeah, because there's no way they could have done this movie justice with just one movie.
What if they just took out all the adjectives from the dialogue?
And they'd all sound like they're a little messed up. I wouldn't leave Hermione. I love her.
I love that Ron says that it's bigger than Harry, because it is. Like, it's a giant war, and Harry's just a part of it. Like, an important part, but...
But yeah,
people would still be fighting even if it weren't for Harry.
That's true. And I mean, Harry's a pretty small person. There's a lot of things bigger than Harry.
Title of this show is called Daniel Radcliffe is Short.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I could nickname the episode. That's right. Ron is talking some sense into Harry. Good stuff.
Sometimes he is the... Actually, in this whole book, he kind of can be the sensible one at times.
Well, yeah, he is. Yeah. I think Heather and I talked about this on the last chapter.
I think that
episode.
Ron is very practical.
He is, yeah. I mean, except the part where he has the Horcrux, right? But
yeah, but like he's very... down to earth.
Yeah, he is.
And he even realizes that the Horcrux is what does that. It may take him a little while, but he realizes it.
Yeah.
Did you guys catch that, what Arthur Weasley just said?
No, what did he say?
I only knew it because from the subtitles, he just says, "Please, it's your brother's wedding, buck up." No idea what that refers to.
Buck up. You know, like, my aunt just said to me, "Buck up, buddy," and I was all, "It's kind of like chin up, keep your head up."
Yeah, but what was this person?
I don't know what he was referring to there.
I love Ginny's dress.
Yeah, I almost feel like this scene, like with them, and she's got her like bare back and everything. I feel like this kind of scene would be too mature for these two people. You know?
Yes.
Like, I feel like this is something you'd see in a James Bond movie when they're all, like, 35 years old.
Also, that but zipper was pretty high, and she could have pulled it herself.
Okay, well, yeah, there's that.
Oh, there's always that. Like, there's no chemistry. No chemistry whatsoever. I'm sorry, there's just no...
They were forced.
Weird.
No, God, you're right, though.
In his ear.
But Sarah, you're right, there is none there. Like, we're not feeling the connection here.
I hate that, too. I hate that. Because I really like the two characters separately, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know, just...
Yeah. I like that the burrow is back to normal after being burnt down.
Yeah. Now, I gotta tell you that one of my other options, worst case scenario, if we can't get the beach or the cruise, is somewhere in the middle of a big field. And it's kind of something like this, I picture, you know?
Yeah.
Excellent.
That'd be nice.
Will the Prime Minister stop by?
Yeah, probably not.
Wait, we don't have a Prime Minister. President?
We don't, but even if, you know, one from any country would want to come and visit. That's fine. Open invitation.
Cool. To any dignitaries.
And again, another very well put together scene, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Wulfric Brian Dumbledore. Deluminator.
I wonder why they chose Bilious for his middle name when he's got a brother named Bill.
Well, yeah, his brother's name is William, and Arthur's middle name is Bilious, I think.
Oh, is it?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That makes sense.
cool facts. So I do have a criticism. I wish that they had brought out more of Scrimgeour's personality, you know, like, and yeah, I wish they
has no personality.
Yeah, well, yeah, he is kind of blah, but I wish they'd gotten into the whole like thing between him and Harry, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it would have helped if he had been like a focus in the sixth movie.
Yeah, like I think they could have easily added him into the sixth one.
Yeah.
You know, for 2 or 3 minutes where he's trying to get Harry on his side. Like, yeah. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, Christmas or... No.
Yeah, that's right.
I know that Joe immediately regretted naming one of the stories Babbity Rabbity and the Cackling Stump as soon as she decided to write the tales.
Why?
Because it's so weird, and like, how are you going to come up with the... story that fits a name like that.
Babbity Rabbity.
Yeah.
They're all watching it to see if it'll open up.
Yeah.
Look at Hermione. Look at
flesh memories, though.
Yeah. Yeah, but look, Hermione was looking at it like she knows what's going on.
Yeah.
Look at her.
Yeah. Oh, she knows. It belongs in a museum.
Are there any wizarding museums?
I don't know. I hope so.
One would think so. I mean...
Oh, the Room of Requirement.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. that's an interesting one.
I guess that counts.
Well, there were lots of history in there.
Yeah.
Some didn't make sense, you know.
Yeah, that's right. You know, when I think of, you know, when I think about the whole Harry Potter series, like, it still shocks me, like, how invested I got into this entire series and how much I know about this entire series, you know? Like, all of us, like, we know every single minute detail of the entire series.
There's never been another series that even comes close for me.
That's right.
Sarah was just talking about how she acts as a tour guide at the Wizarding World of Harry Potter.
Yes.
And I did the same at the Harry Potter Exposition in New York.
Oh, gosh. That came to Edmonton, by the way.
Did you see it?
No, I didn't, but my cousin did, and she sent us a box of, like, a big box full of Bertie Bott's every flavor beans.
Oh, so nice.
Yeah. So Victor Crumb is actually in this scene somewhere.
Yeah.
I saw him at one point. Keeping my eyes peeled, looking at the background.
I like him quite a lot, Victor Crumb.
Really?
Yeah, I think
international Quidditch star. He just wants to be... He just likes this girl who reads. It's pretty cool.
It's pretty simple.
And he wasn't, like, too conceited. Like, he complimented Harry on his flying in the fourth book.
Yeah, that's right. I see Luna, like, even in the movie, she socially knows what's going on, even though she's socially awkward, you know?
She knows how to draw attention to it in a very awkward way as well.
Yeah, that's true. Poor Aberforth. Oh my god. They did a really good job at casting these two characters, by the way.
Yeah, they did.
Like, Auntie Muriel is perfect, I think.
I love the hat.
Yeah, that's right. And the frizzy hair.
At every wedding I go to now, I just pretend to be Auntie Muriel for at least a few minutes.
Ooh, the plot thickens.
It sends a chiller in my spine to even hear that name just because of what happens in that scene.
Wait, which name?
The Bethilda Bagshot.
Oh, yeah, I know. Holy.
You know what? Auntie Muriel looks like Helena Bonham Carter's grandmother.
She does, doesn't she? I can see that. I find it kind of sad that we never actually got to meet Bethilda Bagshot, like, for real, you know? Mm-hmm. This is creepy. Creepy.
I love how there are still people dancing. Like, in the books, it describes people still dancing when the Death Eaters show up.
Oh, really?
So that all happens so quickly.
They are coming. Oh, so good. And that's where the chapter ends, and all of us are like, holy crap. I feel so bad, though. I mean, Bill and Fleur didn't even get a proper wedding.
Yeah.
Before it got destroyed.
Went up in flames.
Yep.
Bye, Remus. I love you.
Yeah, that's the last time we see Remus, I guess, eh?
Yeah, for a while.
For a while. I'm so jealous because my sister went to this place. It's funny, though, because all of a sudden they're in a Muggle setting, you know? We never see them in the setting.
Yeah, and now
that.
Hermione knows what to do. Same with Harry.
This is badass Hermione.
Yeah.
Yes, that's true.
That'll be the books. Yeah, now they're in this cafe. It kind of took me by surprise when I read the book because I wasn't used to them being in all of these Muggle settings all of a sudden, you know?
Yeah.
With all of these cranky waitresses like this one. What she said. I find it a little unrealistic, though, that Ron has no idea what a cappuccino is, you know, like that they are so secluded.
I don't really, though. I don't imagine Molly Weasley making them.
But you don't think they have coffee?
I know, but like,
I think they have coffee, but I don't think he would go to like a Starbucks.
I agree, but like, you think that they would be at least a little more aware of what goes on outside the wizarding world, right?
Especially if they're going to try and act like Muggles and they're in the Muggle world.
Well, that's right, yeah, and like, especially when there's more Muggles than there are wizards, right? So,
right.
It's so weird, like, how secluded Ron and his family are, right?
I mean, to be honest, my dad doesn't know what a cappuccino is.
Oh, well.
He doesn't drink coffee.
Get off work.
Yeah.
You're off for the day.
Okay. Show off.
Wants to use his new gadgets. He was not. Hermione doesn't like doing that. I imagine after you've wiped your parents' memories, it would be really hard to wipe other people's memories.
Hard? Because I think it would almost come easier.
I would think it would be hard because you're reminded of what you did to your parents, in a way.
I imagine you're reminded of it all the time.
Yeah, but especially when you're going to go wipe other people's memories. Okay? I don't care. Really.
Pretty much.
I made people celebrate my birthday for a month this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I never do anything for my birthday, but this year I was like, you know what, I want an entire month.
Yeah. You know, I don't like birthdays very much. Like, no. My own birthday, I mean, yeah.
I don't mind a birthday. I'm okay with a birthday.
Yeah.
Not that we do much, you know, but...
Gandalf! Gambin!
Did look like Gandalf, though.
Really did.
And now the slowness. We have a slow part coming up here. And we're just watching the movie. We have to say something.
I get lost in it.
I do too. That's the problem. So I do have a fun fact here, though. This number 12 Grimmauld Place is also the set for Sherlock Holmes and his house.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it looks the same, doesn't it?
Huh. It kind of does, used. Isn't it? Well, I mean, I guess it does.
Yeah. I think that's weird.
It is a little weird.
Really. But yeah, that's the very same room. I really like when we see things like this, you know, like Sirius's bedroom, and it kind of puts more of a history to the character, you know? Yeah. Or even more of a character to the character.
Yeah, it like builds that character. I like that.
Yeah. And then we have, you know, Regulus's room, and it's much different.
No, it's all tore up because it's already been ransacked, right?
Yeah, it has, yeah. Because Snape has been in there, I believe. Sorry. What are you laughing about?
It's just yes.
Yes, and then there's like a 10-second pause.
That's it. Great, movie's done.
Yes.
Hey, did you know that the person who plays Bill Weasley is the son of Mad-Eye Moody? Brendan Gleeson.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I did know that. Oh, I forgot so about nice. That. It's interesting, though. So, in your opinion, does this creature look the same as the creature in the fifth movie?
I don't even remember the creature in the fifth movie, so I'll say yes.
Like, I don't really know.
Well, I vaguely remember, and I don't think they look exactly the same. I guess, movies over time do that. But
kind of remember him from when he was in the corner by the portrait in the fifth movie.
By the portrait, yeah. That's pretty good CGI, though,
Yeah.
Like, that's like Gollum, Gollum CGI. Gollum-worthy CGI. Do you guys know what technology they used to make Creature?
No.
Like, really, is that an actual actor like they did with Gollum, or is that completely
No, that's a house
CGI?
Elf, Adam.
No.
They got a
yes.
house elf.
Thank you. But I mean, like, oh my gosh. No, I mean,
Neville!
Like, Neville. I mean, like, in making Gollum, did they actually, or Gollum, in making Creature, did they actually get an actor to do the movements and everything?
Yeah,
I have no idea.
Losers.
Love you.
One thing I do like about the final four films, I mean, is because they all have the same director, they all have kind of the same unity in how they look, mm-hmm.
I really love the use of the newspaper to drive the story forward.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that too, yeah. Harry Potter movies are famous for doing that, though. Like, they'll advance the plot in 5 seconds with, like, a shot of the Ministry of...
Yes,
or the Daily Prophet story,
That little giggle of hers.
Yep. But, like, think about this. Going back to my original thought, like, this movie, the way it's filmed, it looks like the fifth one did, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. No?
I don't get the same
I think it, feel. It looks a lot like the sixth one.
Well, yeah, they all do. I think they
Not
all
so
look
much
the same.
The fifth one.
So, I don't know.
Now, see, they have so much more, like, chemistry, and it's just easy-flowing chemistry. Like, they seem... Mm-hmm. That seems normal to me. That doesn't make me feel awkward watching it.
And Dobby.
I love Dobby.
I do too.
Look at his shoes.
Look at those eyeballs. Holy crap. They're huge.
Maybe that's why I have pugs. They have big eyes like Dobby. Dobby eyes.
That must be it.
I wish Dobby had more, like, better clothing, because he's still just wearing the pillowcase. I'm sure he has the shoes, but...
Yeah, you
the
think he'd be wearing...
The shoes make the outfit.
Yeah. I really like how he was described in Goblet of Fire, wearing just the weirdest things.
Yeah, I remember that.
And all of Hermione's hats.
Like, yeah, like the stack of hats on his head.
Yep. I'm looking up a fun fact for this movie.
Huh. Something with the Dobby and Creature, in each film they were in, they had to be filmed, each scene had to be filmed twice.
Why?
First, they were played physically on set by their respective voice actors.
Motion capture. There you go. Yeah. There you go.
And then they came back with the sound effects.
Oh, yeah, nice. Okay. That's cool. And the action begins again.
Yay!
Such a good chapter.
Yeah, this one, like, had definitely much more areas of action where, like, your heart was kind of pounding for them, you know?
Oh, absolutely it did. There's so much going on, it's insane.
I love how synchronized everything is in this scene.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
I remember I had this chapter on the podcast, and I hated doing it so much.
Oh, like, I remember that.
Because it was so complicated.
Well, yeah, trying to explain it, isn't it?
Trying to, like, explain everything that they did to get into the ministry.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. I remember that day. The world's mental.
Okay, Ron.
So dramatic.
It's like he doesn't know how to use his legs.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. What's going on here?
See, no, okay, see, look, I remember in an interview Daniel Radcliffe was talking about this guy playing him, right, mm-hmm. as this other person, and he said that he got Daniel's walk completely right, but I don't think he did at all, you know?
Really?
I mean, well, it's bound to look different, because he's a giant.
But, Daniel Radcliffe said it was spot on, but I think it is not. I think it's completely forced, you know?
It's, I think, not Dan natural probably knows his walk.
Yeah, but I've seen it, right? I've seen it on these movies, and I don't agree with it, I guess. I love this part.
Me too.
I agree. It is bloody disgusting.
What a way to get to work.
Yeah.
God, could you imagine having to flush yourself into work every day? That would be
talk
so
about
cool.
Working in the crapper, huh?
Yeah.
Boom. I guess it'd be fast.
Yeah, that's true. Muggles.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I don't like that. They're all dressed in, like,
rags.
Is it rags, though?
It's like rags and pajamas and, like...
Huh. This guy's terrifying.
Yeah, slightly.
He's so intimidating. Someone should make fun of his braid. That would really get him riled up.
If he's confident enough in his appearance, it won't matter to him. He's so compassionate, though.
Yeah.
You can tell that Ron would be a great method actor.
That's true, actually. I like how they chose actors that sort of looked like the trio, you know? You know, like these three adult actors here sort of look like Harry, Ron, and Hermione, so that we can distinguish easily who they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Ron and Harry specifically, because we know who Hermione is.
Yeah, but Hermione, that resembles Hermione a little bit, you know?
It does, yeah.
I definitely agree.
Yeah,
it does. I think that in this movie and the next one, they do just such a great job of the actors who are playing the people they're impersonating being able to capture
yes.
the essence of their character.
Yeah, I agree.
Belichick's playing Hermione. That was perfect.
Yeah, that was really good. Mudbloods. And the dangers they pose.
Such a hateful word.
Yes.
Smooth.
So smart.
That's not what I pictured them to look like in the book.
I forget what I pictured them as.
I pictured them as little, like, toy soldier-like things. And then kind of, like, just blowing themselves up.
I mean, I saw it kind of like that, but I see them as, like, kind of like that, but just little balls. I just, you know, pictured a ball rolling across the floor.
Oh, yeah, okay. That makes sense. So out of place in this very girly office. So it says tracked there for Hermione, right? Is that what it said?
You know what? I missed it.
Like they showed Hermione's picture and it said tracked. But like she's not being tracked.
Yeah, because in the book she wasn't. So it may, yeah, I guess it may have said that in the movie to make it more like all of them are being tracked, you know?
Yeah.
Like make it more suspenseful and.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
Like, maybe.
I don't know, but like she's not being tracked though. They don't know where she is, so I don't quite get it.
Well, they're probably trying to track her.
Did he say it's bloody cold down here?
What that say, Heather? You got the...
I didn't notice.
Uh-oh.
I'm half blood. This whole place screams Nazis. World War II. That's you, Ron. Get out. Umbridge has not changed.
No.
In the slightest. She's not going to. She's just going to keep adapting herself to the next administration and the next one, the next one.
Yep. It's a really cool effect, this whole thing with the Dementors and the Patronus that's kind of keeping them locked up there.
Can you imagine? That would be horrible.
Yeah, no kidding. She's obviously a witch. Like, how else would she have gotten there?
Right, right. How else would she know about it? How else, like...
Yeah.
Oh, that cat sweater is so creepy.
Yeah, I know.
It is a little... A cat... Yeah.
Oh no, his face is changing.
Must
Yeah, that's right. Get Runcorn. Oh wait, which Death Eater is the blonde-haired one there, with the braid?
But I don't know for sure.
The blonde-haired one with the braid. Which Death Eater was that again?
Oh, that's Yaxley.
That's Yaxley. Okay, yeah.
Ooh.
And Harry. Harry is Runcorn. That's right.
Yeah, Harry's Runcorn.
Runcorn's not technically a Death Eater. He just works with them.
Yeah, okay.
He just likes their evilness.
Yeah. He fits in. Oh, no. This is funny. I love you. Hermione's like, get away.
Oopsie. Oops. Oops, I just made out with an 18-year-old. 17? Wait, how old?
He's 18 now. Oh, no, 17, you're right.
17.
So this scene up here, when they run through the fireplace, this is actually the last scene they ever filmed for the Harry Potter series.
Oh, really?
Yep. Yeah. The very last one. The scene where they're jumping through the fireplace is the very last scene.
Oh.
This is so intense, this part.
Yes, it is.
And when they jump in and we get that whole, like, I don't know, like, twisted visual of them apparating to Grimmauld Place and then to the forest. Like, you can see it, you know, if you go slowly through it enough, they actually put it all in there, which is kind of cool. So, if you guys look closely, you'll be able to see it here.
Best facial expressions.
This is it.
Yeah, I remember that scene from the trailer.
Yep. This is it. That's the last scene. Right here. Okay, now watch. There they are at Grimmauld Place, and now they're apparating. They left the Yaxley forest. There, and now they're in the forest. That is so great.
That's pretty cool.
Bird squawking.
I love how they did that, though. Like, we can kind of see it, but we don't really know what happens, and then Hermione explains it all to us, and then when we go back, we're like, oh, I can see it now.
That's what happened, yeah.
Yeah. So, how many of you, or do any of you, think that she should have won an Oscar for this performance? Not seriously, but, like, she did a very good job acting.
She does definitely do a very good job.
Yeah. I love how Harry just sometimes forgets that he's a wizard.
I know.
And, like, I think Hermione does that too. like in the first book when she's like, oh, we don't have any wood.
Yep.
Yeah.
I like that.
She does. She has her moments where...
Mm-hmm. That does look a little icky.
Yeah, it does. And the pieces of Ron's arm landed on Yaxley's face.
Ew.
I remember when they did the trailer for this movie, they originally showed it with blood on Hermione's hands, and then they redid the trailer, but they CGI'd all the blood off her hands because I thought it was too graphic.
Oh, well.
I didn't think it was that bad.
No.
I mean, it just looks like tomato sauce.
Yeah, she had a she was eating with ketchup.
Yeah, it stopped in Italy.
Yeah, that's right.
Pit stop along the way. That is pretty cool that she figured out all those. Or memorized or whatever, because I don't think she would have been able to practice these charms or whatever.
No. Nope, mm-hmm. Absolutely not.
Yep, that didn't work.
But they have to try.
Yeah, you'd probably try part every one you know, you know?
Yep, that's part of how they find out that it actually won't work. You can hear it scream.
Actually, according to the subtitles, that is chittering.
Chittering?
Mm-hmm. I like the subtitles.
Chittering continues.
Chittering continues. I love how the Horcrux has it like its own theme song almost, where like it's almost like nails on a chalkboard. It's like a high-pitched squealy
chittering kind
of, but it's I don't know if you would call that a chitter though.
Did you guys know that Alexander Desplat's favorite character is Dobby?
Really
yeah,
interesting. I guess he like, since he's the one that scores, like he does the score for the movie, like I guess he could, I don't know, maybe part of his decision was maybe he had a lot of fun making Dobby's theme, I guess, I don't know. Mm-hmm.
I would think so, yeah. And you know,
maybe that influenced his decision.
To score a movie, I would think you would have to really be in touch with each and every character in order to be in touch with each and every scene and portray it musically the way that you want it to be.
Yeah. I imagine that he read the books before he scored the movie. Either that or he got some very explicit feedback from the director and everything.
Then I think oftentimes the conductors of the people doing, you know, the orchestra doing the recording will have the movie playing like on a screen where their stand is.
Yeah.
So they can, as they can conduct, they can like decide, oh, we need to bring out the, like the violas in this section because this is happening.
Yeah.
Oh,
yep.
That makes total sense.
I've seen that before. I've seen, like, Howard Shore when they were doing The Lord of the Rings.
I was just going to say, that's what you learn when you spend all day watching video production diaries of The Lord of the Rings.
That's right. Like, he would score, but they would put the movie on a projector above his head so he could look up and reference where it is.
How cool. It's cool. That is such a great idea.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I think the score is one of the most important things to any movie.
Oh, absolutely.
It makes a movie, you know?
Yep. Oh, yeah, it's like the... It's more important than the logo, I would say, or the, you know?
I love playing scores so much in music ensembles, especially if you know the movie.
Yeah.
Because then it just gives you so much, like, to work with, because you know...
Well, yeah, when you know it, you know how it
when
goes.
When you know what's happening as you play that, it gives you more emotions.
Yeah, and it's a lot more fun and easier to play, even.
Mm-hmm. John Williams wanted, or I guess was interested in coming back to score the final two movies.
I wish he'd done that.
I don't think something was scheduling or something.
Yeah. However, I am a big fan of Alexander Desplat as well.
Yes.
He is. Yeah, he did do a good job. Yeah.
I think if there's anybody that could have done close to John Williams for Harry Potter, it would have
been him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was really disappointed with Nicholas Hooper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember lots of people were. They were very underwhelmed by what he did for the Harry Potter movies.
Like, and it was okay, but it wasn't what we were used to.
Yeah, he was okay, and I think people were really upset that he didn't bring in Harry Potter's theme Hedwig's theme, sorry. So. I remember people were upset with this part in the movie because it was so slow, and then we had to keep reminding them, but it was like that in the book, too.
Yeah, that's true. Harry Potter and the extended camping trip.
That's right. Harry Potter and the 5-month camping trip. However, this scene was great. Mm-hmm. And I know how they did this, too. It's very simple and really funny, actually.
Harry didn't have that radio until after Ron came back in the books, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And they learned that Snape was headmaster through Vinius Nigellus on the radio.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they don't even have him.
Yeah, that's too bad.
I know. That's one of the things I regret about this movie.
However, I almost kind of like this, at least as much, because it continues the use of media to push the story forward.
Yes.
Daily Prophets flying around.
Yeah.
And as we talked about in the latest podcast.
Yep, I remember that.
It was a week ago, Adam.
My memory's not failing on me yet. So this scene...
Everyone wish Adam a happy birthday.
Oh, crap.
Oh, yes, happy birthday, Adam.
It was 3 days ago. I am now 21 years old.
In the States, you're official. I mean, you were already official in Canada, but in the States, it's official.
So really quick, I have to say, this scene here, when they do that kind of spinny thing with the camera, mm-hmm. Emma Watson simply ducks out of view of the camera. And then she jumps back up again when she's supposed to be. Cool. Yeah, so she's ducked here. She's out of the shot.
And then she pops back up.
And now she pops back up again.
It's kind of like dodging a boom on a ship.
Yep, pretty much. But it's just so funny because... it's such a cool effect in the movie, but it was so simple to make in real life. I never really thought about that.
That would have scared me to death.
I wouldn't even be talking right now. Yeah, even though the enchantment's there, I would be way too paranoid.
I'm with you.
To say a word. Holy crap.
I'd be like putting out the fire, hiding in the tent.
I'd be running.
I'd be like, put out the fire, the ring wraiths are here.
No, I'm gonna cry again. I just finished Lord of the Rings, Sarah, for the first time.
Oh, really?
Oh. Yeah.
I'm gonna read that series again. Have to.
I know, I really want to read that again. And I haven't seen the second Hobbit yet, so I want to read that.
The second Hobbit was so good.
I haven't read The Hobbit
good.
In 11 years, so all the stuff they added to it, I'm just like, oh, did that happen?
Yeah. So they made Ron look really miserable. And tired, holy.
Yeah.
So pale and...
well, I don't remember that.
I think in the book it describes how they were hiding in various places because the Death Eaters would show up or something.
They would pass by. For whatever reason. I just don't remember.
I always liked how they would just give like a little one-line example of like all the different places they had been.
Yeah, that's true.
Like a cave or like a pebble beach or the edge of a...
under a bridge.
Country village.
Yeah. I never really paid attention to... the radio talking in the background of this entire scene, you know?
But this is just a list of the people who have died, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it is, but it adds a lot, you know?
Mm-hmm. I know. I'm just like, wow.
I never even realized it before. You kind of have to watch these movies two or three times to really get the full details of what they've done here. Mm-hmm. He's like, you're not done my hair.
Every time I get a haircut.
Yeah.
Now, I prefer Glamdring, the elfin maid blade.
Yeah, right. Wrong movie. So, guys, do you want to do the Lord of the Rings pensive after this podcast is over? You give me a good chance to read the books again.
I don't know what you guys are making.
Actually, I shouldn't.
Watch that again now, so.
I haven't seen the last two movies yet.
Of the Lord
of
the Rings?
I saw Fellowship of the Rings, but I haven't seen the other two.
Oh my gosh. Really? Heather, but The Return of the King.
I have to wait until I finish the books.
Yeah, that's true. The Return of the King is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Have you guys seen, you know, the extended versions, like 4 hours?
I own them. Yeah, that's all I know.
That's the ones I have. Oh my gosh. That's all I know. Talk about having a Lord of the Rings marathon. You're there all day.
I did. I did it in high school. I did it in high school with my friends for 12 hours.
I haven't had one of those days.
We were greasy and disgusting after we finished the movie. We were so proud of ourselves.
There was a story I saw on Tumblr of a girl was watching The Hobbit with her parents, but they fell asleep, so she went and put The Return of the King in the movie instead.
Oh, yeah.
And when her dad woke up, he just said, "Oh my god, what day is it?"
Oh, that's funny. Okay, back to Harry Potter. Okay.
Yeah.
Wrong movie.
Sorry.
That's okay. I'm the one that started it. Oh.
I know. I don't like this part of
the movie. This is the first, like, I know they
Ron
had a little.
Ron needs to shave.
I know they had a little tiff in movie 4, but this is, like, the first time we actually. They actually get physical here.
Yeah. Like, in the books, like, there would, within the trio, there would have, like, at least one major fight every year.
That's true. Yeah.
But
whether
Ron
it be
is, like,
between
really mean here, not just not just like young and I don't know, Henri or whatever. He's like really mean.
He's like he's saying things to hurt specifically.
Ooh, that's harsh.
He's hateful.
And just this hateful. Is the locket though. The locket's making him say things he would never say.
That's true.
But he still thought these things. If the locket makes you say things that you thought.
Yeah, but
that's
the locket
true also.
But okay.
Ones you would never say though.
That's true. Yeah, I guess the locket kind of makes you say things that you would normally just keep to yourself.
Yeah, or like immediately disagree with.
Yeah, or maybe
like something that would just come into your mind to say, "Oh no, that's wrong. I don't believe that."
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Ooh, scandal. I really like how they did that. This is such a, you know, little nerdy thing, but like Harry is just sitting here and standing here waiting and all you can hear is them outside the tent. I'm really happy that they did that. Instead of actually showing us Hermione running after Ron,
yes,
I think it's got
I agree.
So much more effect to hear her in the background, I guess.
I agree. I never thought of that before, but.
And because so much of the movie is from Harry's point of view, like if you had them showing Hermione chasing after Ron, it would almost be like Harry cared enough to go and watch.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Oh, this is sad.
Yeah. It's like when you go out and find your Christmas tree, and like if there's one you might like and want to come back to, you put a glove on it.
Yeah.
Claim it as yours.
Yeah. Harry, we'll be back to chop this tree down. Really good acting, Emma Watson. Holy. I remember after the last movie came out, and everyone just wanted Harry Potter to finally win an award.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but it didn't.
It didn't, yeah.
I thought that was really funny, actually.
Yeah, I did too. So are these rocks? These are some weird-looking rocks.
Yeah, those are rocks. Yeah.
I've always, like, looked at these things and have thought, wow, that's. I wonder what this place is.
I've always wanted to see rocks like that. It's all sedimentary here where I live.
And, Curacao, we were on vacation. It's like that, but way smaller cracks mm-hmm. everywhere. It's like coral almost.
Oh,
it's
cool.
It's like a whole mountainside. It's awesome.
Wow.
Oh, that is cool. Hey, so really quick, I need to know your takes on this scene. One at a time, what did you guys think of this scene, this edition? Because I like it, but there's a lot of people who really don't like it.
I'm one of those
people. I think it's really, really sweet. I'm glad they have it.
I'm one of those.
Elaborate on that.
Like,
oh, okay, so we got a contrast here. Heather, you go first. Why do you like this scene?
I think it's just really nice, like... It's like a little break. See, Harry takes off the locket from Hermione, and it's like, okay, we don't have to think about that right now. We don't have to think about Ron leaving or the war. Like, we can just be two friends hanging out, dancing a bit, you know?
Yeah, but I see there are some people out there that think it's a little weird because this is almost a romantic scene when it shouldn't
be. It almost is.
Yeah. I don't think it's romantic.
They have more chemistry than him and Ginny do, and I don't like it.
Well, I think they have more... Well, you know what? I think they might have more chemistry than Hermione and Ron at times.
You guys just don't dance randomly with your friends?
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, now, I mean, if we're out and about and, the girls are on the dance floor or whatever, yeah, I'll go dance. But it's not, like, with them like that. And I don't have any guy friends that would dance like that. I don't think.
Was once out with some friends, and one of them made me swing dance with him in every restaurant we went to.
Well, no, that'd be pretty cool.
Oh. There you go.
Way back in the day, we did, stuff like that. I don't know. It's a little weird.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's just nice.
But yeah, then there's stuff, like, right now they look like they're just having fun. But then they look at each other like this. Watch, ready? They're going to look at each other, and it's going to almost be like they're about to kiss or something right here, Like,
yeah.
It is a little strange, but, like, I can see it from Heather's point of view still,
I mean, I get it. They need a break or whatever.
I remember my sister was really uncomfortable with the scene. She was like, God, it's so weird. That shouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
But I was like, but, I don't know. Have you guys noticed that, like, it's very realistic in that as the movie progresses, everybody's hair gets longer?
Yeah.
Like, Hermione's gets longer, Ron's gets longer.
The facial hair gets longer.
Yeah, that's right. Kiss it.
Talk about chemistry.
Yeah, right?
Harry only has eyes for the snitch. We got the creepy scene.
Dumbledore was, like, really, really cryptic with all that.
He was.
May as well have just, like, written them notes in ancient Aramaic backwards.
Yeah,
that's true.
As a matter of fact, it is.
Yes, it is. Very, very dangerous. I always, like, pictured one of their one of them getting their foot stuck in one of the cracks by accident.
Whoops.
Why did she say that?
I don't know.
Really?
Oh, look, it's starting to snow.
Yeah. So they do that a couple times in this movie. A few times where they just show the ground as they apparate. It's kind of a neat little simple way to not put any special effects in and True. Make it cheaper.
True. Showing some groundwork.
This is a set, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, this has to be a set.
Yeah, it looks.
I think this is the same set that they used for yes. Hogsmeade.
Yes, Hogsmeade. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So this hymn that you can hear from the church, I actually found it on YouTube, and I created a piano arrangement for it.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, I'll send you guys the video afterwards.
Cool.
Yeah.
Do you know what the hymn is called?
It's called, I think it's called My Love Is Always There, or something like that. The Harry Potter, it's on the special edition of the Harry Potter soundtrack.
Was it written for Harry Potter?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, I tend to do that from time to time. I've been playing piano since I was in grade 2, so if I hear a song that's easy to change into a piano arrangement, I'll do that.
That's awesome.
It's really cool.
Yeah, it really is.
I didn't know you played the piano for that long.
Yeah, for a very long time.
Oh.
And the saxophone since 5th grade.
Yeah. Do you still play that?
The saxophone?
Yeah, like in an ensemble.
Not an ensemble, but I pull it out myself and I... fiddle around with it still. I don't have time to play in an ensemble at all. But I would, though, for sure, if I had time. This is really great. Is somebody crying?
Surprisingly not.
Okay.
I mean, Harry is.
Yeah, Harry is.
Oh, Harry.
If I did when it was in the theater, I don't know. I don't think
I did.
Did you?
Yeah, no surprise there.
I did.
I cry like everything.
I normally do.
Heather, if you cried everything, then do not watch The Return of the King. Whatever you do.
Oh, well, I already cried through the book, so...
Oh gosh, the movie, like it's
four
so...
4 days afterwards.
The movie will... Yeah, I won't elaborate. Oh, creepy.
Those shoes look like Dobby's.
She stole them.
And enlarged them.
A little disappointed they didn't show the statue.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
Yeah, or the signpost or whatever that was beside Harry's
house.
Yeah,
I was just going to say, I couldn't remember if they had the messages on the gate or not.
Yeah, no, they do. They don't.
That would be pretty intense, going to see where your parents are murdered, you know?
Yeah, yeah, it really would. Oh, she's scary.
Yeah, she is.
God, not all old ladies are cute.
I wouldn't have wanted to go to her house, even if she wasn't possessed. Like, no. No, no.
Yeah.
I'm not that girl. Oh.
She's horrifying. I expect, like, an exorcist to show up or something.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Grindelwald. Nagini must find it strange to have hands.
I'm sure he had to.
I'm sure, like, she must feel, like, and feet and actually walking and picking up things. I don't think she's done that very many times.
No, Nagini's probably quite intrigued with her new body.
Yeah. She's probably like, oh, this is fascinating.
Well, it is very cold, so it's best that she's warm-blooded.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Either that or she's like, I can't do this properly. What the hell?
It's like she forgets she has hands and tries to pick things up with her non-existent tail.
Or with her mouth. So they're not putting up subtitles. Heather, do you see any subtitles?
Oh, not right now. I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Like they're talking in
Parseltongue.
Insects like... buzzing.
Good that they know that. Oh.
Why do you think they did that?
Ooh.
What? Yeah, this is scary. Why do you think that they didn't show the subtitles of what they were saying?
I don't know.
Like, they're just speaking in a different language.
Hissing.
Hissing, yep. Yeah.
Hermione in normal voice, Harry.
No, this part freaks me out. I'm sorry, you guys.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
I remember there was a lot of theories that they broke through the wall, and this room they're in now is Harry's bedroom.
Yeah, I thought that,
when he was a baby. I don't think that's right, though. I don't think
no, because it would not look like that.
It wouldn't look new and everything.
Because in the book, they say that the side of the house where Harry's room was, where the spell backfired, was just completely destroyed.
Yeah, there you go. Grab the wand. So I just wanted to ask, like, when Hermione is looking up to the ceiling there and she sees the blood on the ceiling, what do you think she found in that room? You think she found Batilda's body?
I think that's what they're trying to show. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Or maybe even the victims of Nagini that she ate.
Oh, maybe. But, like, yeah, like, when Nagini transformed back into her snake, like, the body was nowhere to, like, the body disappeared, right. So.
Yeah.
I think she found
She wasn't the using body. The actual body.
But, yeah. No, then they found, they say on Potter Watch that her body had been found in Godric's Hollow and appeared to have been dead for months.
Okay.
So I think that, Bathilda died, and then the snake used her body.
Okay, yeah. God, that's creepy.
Yeah.
Do you guys think, like, whenever Hermione mentions someplace that, like, she took them there? You guys think where you would take them? Like, what strange places in your life you would bring them to?
Yeah. I don't know where I would take them. Like, you mean in England or anywhere?
Anywhere. Like, something, like, because Hermione takes them to places they've been to.
Yeah.
Like, she has been to.
Yeah. I'd take them to the Rocky Mountains.
Oh, that'd be
good. That'd be kind of cool. Grand Canyon. Yeah, kind of secluded. Grand Canyon.
I mean, it's snowing. I certainly wouldn't want to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. But, like, I don't think she... I mean, I guess they don't have a choice because it snows everywhere in England.
Can you only go to where you know, though? Why couldn't they operate to
Florida, let's say, or wherever.
I think it's just Hermione thinking of places like that she's been to and is familiar with.
You have to visualize the place in your head where you're going.
But if you've seen pictures of it, then you can go there.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I'm... Okay, so if you saw pictures, or if you knew of it and what it was supposed to look like, could you envision what you imagine it to look like and then still get there?
Yeah.
Yeah, if it was accurate enough, I think you could. Yeah. Which is kind of interesting. I could take a picture of the pyramids in Egypt and visualize myself there, and then I'd show up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I first saw this movie, I kept watching like the trees for like a flash of a cloak or something, but nothing.
It reminds me of that scene in the first movie when they're in the Forbidden Forest and Voldemort is there drinking the the unicorn blood.
The unicorn, yeah, the vampire blood.
Yeah, that's right. But I kept hoping that Snape would show up, but he didn't. So did Snape stay here for the duration of time it took Harry and Ron to destroy the locket? Or for the duration of time that the Patronus was there? Did he stay there?
He probably just left after he led them to it.
Yeah, so like after the Patronus disappears, then Snape left.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Man, that would suck to even think about jumping in.
I know. I know.
God.
I would grab on to the ice from, you know, I'd go into the water, I'd grab onto the ice, and I'd try and get the sword with my foot.
That's what I would do. That's a good idea. Gotta be a better way than sticking your whole head under it.
Yeah, that's true.
I think I would try and stick my head in, like lie down on the ground and then...
Yeah.
Trying to get to the bottom of it.
There's the sword.
Do you figure Snape was being mean when he put it
when he put it at the bottom of this pond?
The
frozen pond.
The sword, to find a Gryffindor sword, you have to do like a true Gryffindor act.
Oh yeah.
So like sacrificing, like taking the risk.
Well, I guess that would be a better thought than thinking Snape just said, ha ha,
yeah, because
you can go into freezing cold water.
Yeah, because the sword doesn't appear to Neville until he stands up to Voldemort.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Good lordy, that's going to be cool. Oh, and I wouldn't do it so. No.
Go in there as, yeah.
Just jump in.
It's just like the polar bear swim.
Like the polar bear, right?
Think polar bear swim.
I never want to do a polar bear swim. Oh my god.
I did it once. It wasn't very fun.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, I can imagine not. No. This Florida girl is not doing any kind of... No.
See, this pond is so much deeper than the one in the book, I think.
I know. This is like a little lake.
Yeah, it was described as... It was just a pool, it's a lake.
This is terrifying. This is one of my worst fears.
This is how so many marine animals die.
They get trapped under ice.
You're like seals. They can't, if the ice is too thick and they can't find the breathing hole.
Yeah.
Oh, even that's gotta be cold. See, that's just making me cold now watching it.
Yeah. Ooh. Are you mental?
Ooh, it's Aragorn with his sword.
Nice.
Like, this seriously makes me want to go outside to where it's like 80 degrees right now and stand out there for a minute and warm up.
Oh my god.
It's warm outside? Oh my gosh. It's
80 degrees here.
Wow. You're lucky.
You could be in your bikini right now outside.
Wow.
Like, some people do that for fun here. Like, in the winter, they go out in a bikini in the snow.
That's no fun. Yeah. No fun.
This is so intense.
Yeah, this part kind of.
I remember they made such a big deal about Harry and Ron, Hermione and Ron kissing, right? And then like everybody forgets about this like nude scene between Harry and Hermione.
Yeah,
it's like, whoa, where did that come from? But I remember there was talk for so much time on how terrible the kissing scene was.
I love this scene. The voiceover is so good.
It is, yeah. Ooh.
That sucks for Ron.
Yeah. See, look at this. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But it like it doesn't even look like them that much.
But yes, it does.
Kind of, but like.
That's God, chemistry. They have more chemistry than any other person in this that's series. That's the way the Harry Ginny kiss should be.
Right?
Yeah,
that's what
really,
I'm saying.
Really.
They're supposed to be like passionate, in love.
I agree. How is everybody's recording?
Oh, going swell, I'm sure.
Okay, that's good.
Swell.
Good, good, good. So I just have to say, this is probably the scene that Hermione looks the best in.
I think she's amazing in this.
Yeah, I gotta.
I mean, she's great in everything, but. Oh, I love those boots. Where do I get them? I basically want to own Hermione's entire wardrobe from the fourth movie on.
I do like her wardrobe, I agree.
It's like in this scene you remember that she set a professor on fire when she was 11 and kept a journalist in a jar when she was 14.
Yeah, that's right.
The Deluminator.
Oh. She's... That's it. She's...
Going soft.
Yep. She's pretending now. She's
right now she's reminding herself she's mad. She's going, I'm mad at
you. Yeah, I'm supposed to be mad at you. I'm not going to give in. I'm not giving in. Oh, she's like, oh, his heart. Harry's like, oh, Ron.
That's so amazing.
Oh, Ron, tell me more.
Tell me more.
Tell me more, tell me more.
Didn't we just talk, Heather, about at this part in the book, Ron really kind of takes over?
Yeah.
Kind of takes charge of everything?
Yeah, especially after the whole Deathly Hallows thing.
Yeah.
Because Harry's just off in his own world. And...
Hey, Sarah, you get to join us now for the actual book.
Yeah.
I know. It's working.
It's working now. Yay. We're on where are we? Shell Cottage chapter. That's what we're.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I could have stayed living in this house.
Yeah.
If I couldn't get good enough internet to podcast.
Yeah, that's right. Part troll. Love it.
What if Harry just burned everything they owned, like, in that one little spell?
I always wondered why the tent didn't catch fire. Didn't, like, yeah. That was a lot of fire. Holy crap.
I don't know, but thank God it didn't. Yeah.
Just take the leap. Go to Zeno.
I can't blame him for being a little bit afraid, but on the other hand, you can't just keep running and not take any action. Yeah. You know what I mean?
At this point, after having just been wandering around for so long, I would have just said, okay, whatever.
Yeah, I would have.
Anyway, if I don't find these. So.
If it was a small lead or a small chance, I would have taken it. You know, anything. Anything at this point. Is anybody reminded of, like, a Lord of the Rings landscape scene?
Yeah.
Almost the music, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Look, it's a tower. Right.
Yeah, there's Isengard right there.
Yeah, there you go. This would be the Shire.
Yep.
They're taking the trio to Isengard.
Yeah.
I want Hermione's coat.
That is a cool coat. I like that coat.
No comment.
I agree. That would be perfect for, like, an all-year-round coat here.
Yeah.
You wouldn't need it like anything else.
I'm liking Zeno's hair. I want that hair.
No. I don't know. Ron's got a pretty good dude going on, too.
Oh, wait, above him. Is that the bust of Rowena Ravenclaw?
Oh, behind him there. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Will we get another shot? Hopefully.
Yeah. Hopefully. I was just looking for it.
Right to the right of Zeno, hey? Mm-hmm. Oh, it's... Oh, I can't see it.
I hate when movies darn it. Do that.
This is like almost word for word from the book.
Yeah. I love when that happens.
Yeah, really. So when they filmed...
This part gets a little trippy though.
Yeah, it does. When they filmed this scene...
I love this so much.
When they filmed this scene with all of them sitting around, Emma Watson had the bad case of the giggles. So they had a pretty tough time filming this scene. She would keep laughing on set. And they had to give her what's called I think it's like a red card or something to tell her, like, you're kind of going way too over the top here. And you'll have to take a time out if you.
Could you imagine? That would just make me laugh even more.
Yeah, I know. I'd be like, wow, almost 10 years of filming this movie and I got my first red card.
Look at this animation.
It's great. It's very Tim Burton-y, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
It's very Nightmare Before Christmas, kind
You're
of.
You're right.
It's so, but like, in my opinion, it doesn't fit with a Harry Potter movie. Maybe it's because we've never seen an animation like this before, but like.
I think that's what it is. I think that's why it's so weird for
it
me.
It reminds me of Dementors, kind of.
Is it Tim Burton? Did he do this part?
No, he didn't, but.
Oh, okay.
But it's just.
No, but it is very Tim Burton.
It's strange.
I almost get a biblical sense from it.
Yeah, I can see that too. But it's very, like, it gives you the sense of a real dark fairy tale, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whoa, Death has big eyeballs. Did you see those things? Holy.
Yeah.
He was the smart one.
That's true. What a moron.
Yep.
It's a very good fairy tale, though. Like, you really get the sense that this is, you know, something like hundreds of years old, you know?
Yeah.
But it definitely has, like, you know, a lot of morality in it.
Yeah.
And I think it's important that, like, Ron corrected Hermione when she said, oh, no. And he said, oh, no, it's not twilight, it's midnight. Because it shows that there are so many different variations.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Slight differences to it all around the world, as with real fairy tales.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this youngest, how many, does it ever say in the books how old this fairy tale is in the wizarding world? So, like, Ignotus, so. Is he
thousands
Harry's,
of years, I bet.
Yeah, so he'd be like Harry's great, 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 five times over grandfather. Yeah.
Well, I think Godric's Hollow had already been founded by then because the third brother is buried there.
Yeah, okay.
He's a little creepy here.
Yeah, he's very deranged here almost.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he has reason to be, you know? Yeah. He took his daughter, so.
Yes, that's true.
the inspiration for the story. So, okay. So maybe the story didn't actually happen, but something like that did.
Right. Based on a true story.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. This is kind of intense.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. It's kind of hard to talk about this part in the movie when, like, we discussed all of these things last week.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys were just doing this part.
Yeah, we were. Yeah, we really were.
And these scenes follow the book so well.
They do, yeah. They're very good with doing that, so. Like, really what we can do is, like, make minute book-movie comparisons.
I wish they mentioned directly that the Quibbler had, like, turned from Harry.
Yeah, that's one thing that they don't do. And I wish they'd...
And look, that was an instance of the taboo.
Yes, it was.
Said Voldemort, and then they appeared.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, he didn't go out and actually call the Death Eaters. He, And Hermione doesn't obliviate Zeno's memory.
Yeah.
Really, like, Zeno could be dead.
Yeah, after that Hermione, anyway. Yeah.
Like, in the book, Hermione has it all planned out, right? Like, she gets Ron and Harry, and she obliviates Zeno's memory, and then she makes sure the Death Eaters have seen them, and... Mm-hmm.
But it didn't really fit with the setting, because there wasn't, like, a floor that they fell through.
Yeah, that's true. Well, there could have been.
Oh, shit. Oops.
Yeah.
She said shoot, folks. She said shoot.
Oops.
I remember when we first reviewed this movie a couple years ago, and I called this scene a seizure inducer. And Holly was like, oh my god, that's a little exaggerated. Seizure inducer. But, you know, like, I remember my mother, she has epilepsy, and we were watching the scene in the theater, and she was like, yeah, I felt a little sick after I watched that.
Oh boy.
Because it's like, everything is shaking here, and you can really not make anything
out. Yeah, everything's going so fast.
It was the...
It's weird.
It was the noises that got to me most, just the panting.
Yeah.
The ran, and, like, the snapping of the twigs.
Yeah. They used a lot of handheld cameras for this movie.
Yeah.
I remember them talking about that, and they said that they, like, with the sixth one and everything previous, they barely used handheld cameras, but because this was more of a road movie, they felt it more appropriate to use some shaky camera action.
I think it makes sense for this.
Yeah, and it looks good. I think it looks good, too.
Yeah.
Don't ever tease Grindelwald. Oh no.
When he said Dumbledore, it kind of sounded like he said Dolgoldor.
Dolgoldor.
No, not you.
Who is that? Johnny Depp's little brother?
Yeah. Oh, it's so weird hearing Clearwater in a movie.
Clearwater?
I'm like, wait, what? Clearwater?
Oh, yeah. You know, I told you there's a town, Clearwater, just like 20 minutes south of me.
And yeah, in Florida.
Where the beach wedding would take place.
Yeah. I know. Whenever I type in Clearwater, like to find my hometown, Clearwater, Florida always pops up.
Yeah.
It's funny. And we're just watching it again.
Yeah.
There we go.
Cat Drago. It's obviously Harry. It looks like Harry.
I agree.
Like,
and it could be Elijah Wood.
Yeah, right. Ron and Hermione are there, so it's obviously Harry.
Yeah, that's kind of a big tell.
Like, they don't even need to get Draco. They can just know.
Yeah.
But maybe Voldemort intimidates them so much that
they second guess themselves. Yeah, they can't afford to be wrong.
Yeah.
Another time.
Yeah. He'll kill us all. She's smart, you know.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
This is intense. I love Bellatrix's cackle.
Okay, do you see how he did that whole writhing thing with his body?
Yeah.
That wasn't planned in the script either. He had to do that to avoid being upstaged by Helena Bonham Carter.
Upstaged? What do you mean by upstaged?
Uh-huh. Like her acting to take to
saying, where like your upstage is farther back and not as close to the audience.
Oh, okay, so like, I see.
When somebody goes out in front of you, you're upstaging them.
Ah, that's funny.
Right. Apparently, the guy that plays him, Nick Moran, he seems to be a bit of a prima donna anyway. I guess, like, he asked for, he wanted to see all his costumes before he ever went out there. And he didn't like, I think, the boots or something, so he requested like knee-high boots that were laced all the way up, but he didn't realize he was going to be running through the forest when he did all that.
Wait, who?
The guy that plays Scabior, Rick. Nick.
Oh my
god! Yeah,
that's hilarious. Prima donna. Does this give you chills down your spine?
Oh yeah, and this part.
Oh, she's shaking.
This part was so intense. For the cast, that Helena Bonham Carter actually walked up to Emma Watson after the scene was shot and asked her if she were okay to make sure they were still on good terms.
Yeah.
Yeah, no
kidding.
They
said that's how intense this was for them.
Holy God.
Yeah. Which you gotta give it to him. It sounds pretty intense.
Yeah, it does.
This part is all crazy intense, even in the book.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah, we just went through this chapter.
This is the one I was going to do if I could make it on the podcast. And so yeah. This one I was like...
What? Did Dobby just come out of the Deluminator?
No.
That's what it looked like.
It looks like it.
Yeah, yeah. No, but yeah, it is. I went over the chapter, Sarah, and it was like... There were so many things happening that there wasn't a lot of discussion. Like, I was just kind of trying to get everything that was happening out there.
Yeah, I tried to get it all out there. There was a lot in that chapter.
So much.
She's so polite.
Sir.
I know, she is. I love her.
I really wish Dean had been there.
Yeah.
I guess it was just too much money to throw another actor in there.
Yeah.
Oh. It's so funny. Still, I gotta bring it up. Really pissed off that he didn't die.
Oh, yeah. I always forget that.
Really pissed off he didn't.
He's supposed to kill himself right now.
He didn't strangle himself.
Maybe they thought that would be a bit too... much to see on screen.
No, we just saw Hermione get tortured, for God's sake.
Yeah, that's true. They said that they did have to cut part of that scene out because...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It would have been rated R in the US and 15 in the UK.
For real?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh.
They didn't cut part of that. When I say it was intense, I mean it was crazy intense, apparently. I wish I could have seen those scenes, you know?
Yeah, maybe they're online somewhere.
That'd be pretty cool.
I'd like to see what they actually did, you know?
Yeah.
I imagine when you're filming a movie that's, you know, dark like this, it's hard to make it right so that it fits the ratings. Because, like, the ratings people are really strict, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And also, they're kind of really random. Like,
they are.
What they pick.
Like, I can imagine filming a really evil scene and thinking it's really, really great and it's perfect for the movie, and then, like, the ratings people are like, no, you have to take it out because
I know
your movie would be rated R. It's like, crap.
Oh, that would suck so bad to figure out, like, how to make such a great scene still be such a great scene, but cutting out most of it, you know?
Which is why, like, I wish they had an unrated edition of this movie.
I agree. Yeah.
Hey, look, Ron didn't have to pull Hermione out from under the chandelier.
Yeah. Nope, she ran.
Oh, God.
Ew. Okay, now I really might cry.
Oh, this is sad.
That's no much. That's right.
Knife throwing is really hard, by the way.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah.
Getting the pointy end and where it's
supposed to. It takes a lot of skill.
Yeah.
That's so horrible.
See, there they do the ground shot again when they apparate.
Yeah, yeah.
We're all like, where did the knife go? Wait. Oh, this is very sad.
And it's such a beautiful location.
You know, it is a very sad thing, this scene, right? But I feel like it would have been more sad if we had more of we saw more of Dobby in the movie series, you know?
Mm-hmm. It was still sad because he was such a big character in the books.
Oh, of course,
for me,
yeah.
I cried like a baby.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But, I mean, if he was... For those movie watchers, you know, darn those people.
Yeah.
They wouldn't know Dobby as well. I don't think Dobby says this much in the book, though. He just kind of looks at Harry and goes, Harry Potter, and then he dies.
Yeah.
He's like such an innocent soul, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He really is.
And he's so small, you can really see when he's in Harry's arms.
Yeah. No, Dobby, don't go.
Yeah, poor Dobby.
I hate that.
I like how mangled they made Luna look.
Yeah.
How unkempt.
Yeah, dirty fingernails and all.
Yeah. She's probably been in those clothes for weeks.
Yeah.
Down there in that cellar. And this is where we see, you know, maybe the Muggle world can be superior to the Wizarding world, you know? Because you're taking the effort, which shows how much you care about.
Yeah.
Another, yeah.
Yeah.
Another human being or whatever.
Yeah.
And I like that he wanted to do it without magic, too.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, right?
Mm-hmm. That is a beautiful place to be buried, though.
It is, yeah.
Like, there's no better place, I think, for Dobby. I think that's beautiful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right by the ocean. Oh. Now we have this this final scene. Oh my gosh, we're almost done the movie.
I was so confused when I saw this. I thought they were on the ocean.
Yeah. It's Lake Hogwarts.
Yeah.
It's so creepy.
I looked at these, like, I'm like...
This, I think this really makes you see how... I mean, obviously, even in the book, how evil Voldemort is, that you would actually...
Yeah. Oh, he would go into a grave.
The lengths he would go to achieve what he wants.
And I have to say... He's
a sick individual.
He's afraid of death.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, and then here you are going into a grave.
A tomb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, next to the dead person. Oh, yeah.
And I was really happy when they showed him, like, cracking the grave, right, with his wand. Because in my head, I had this scene in my head where he was so evil and you know, vicious that he would, you know, crack and destroy the entire tomb. And then they actually showed it, and I was like, yes!
Yeah.
It's pretty morbid. Like, there's dead Dumbledore, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't make it rated R. But, you know, the other scene that's too much is that'll make it rated R.
Yeah, that's right.
Really makes you wonder what they cut out
now. Because it's not gory or anything.
Well, it's not.
That's true. It's not the gore.
Yeah, okay, that's true. Good scene to end on. Really good cliffhanger, must say.
What a movie.
What a movie. And such a contrast from the last one.
It's pretty intense. That was pretty intense. I'm not going to lie. It's been a while since I've seen that movie. So, like, there parts
Steve
of it
Close.
I didn't remember.
Did that.
Yeah. No, it's... Oh, J.K. Rowling produced it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This was
yeah, she got,
this
she got
the
a producer
one.
Credit now.
Whoa, that's so cool.
Yeah, they. I think they offered it to her for every movie, but she only took it for the last two.
This one, yeah. This was her first.
So, like, what do you do when you produce a movie?
Well,
like, you're not directing it, but...
Like, you finance it and make sure that everything's good and handle
well,
the business
see,
end of it.
I watched that show. What's that show that Steven Spielberg can't smash, right? And they had the producer and the director, and they were two totally different people. And I want to say the producer was... I think he was that Derek guy who, like, produced the choreography and stuff. So, like,
yeah,
I think you, I don't know, when you produce a scene, what do? You say this should be in the scene, I guess, and then the director is the one in charge of figuring out where things should be and where people should be in the scene?
Maybe. That's maybe what it is. Or maybe it's, like, the connection between the... You play the connection between the filmmaking and the big corporation, like Warner Brothers, that you know, hosts the movie or whatever.
Yeah.
Somehow, maybe? I don't know.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Because, yeah, what do you do when you produce it? Do you present all of the material to the corporation in the end?
I think even when you're producing, because isn't it, well, I guess it's probably a producer and director effort to hire on the cast members.
Mm-hmm.
But I would think that you would also be kind of in charge of that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who, where, when, and why are going to be in a scene.
Yeah,
producers prepare and then supervise the making of a film before presenting the product to a financing entity or a film distributor.
There. Hey,
they
I was
be
right.
Employed by a film studio or be independent, yet either way, they helm the creative people as well as the accounting personnel.
There you go.
From Wikipedia. Okay, cool.
Which is great because J.K. Rowling produced this movie.
Yeah. Yes.
So awesome. Happy. And you know, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, she's actually writing the screenplay for. So
I know, I can't wait.
It's that's pretty awesome. Pretty stoked.
Yes. So.
But anyways, there you have it. There's the end of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows part 1.
There it is.
So three more chapters episodes and we get to watch part 2 and
oh my gosh, that's so crazy.
Wow. Yeah, and then we've got our final episode after that.
There's only 3 more?
Yeah, there's 3 more chapters episodes, and then we're going to watch the last film right before we finish the actual book. And then the final, the last episode, I've planned it out, is we're going to do the final chapter of the book and the epilogue. And then what we're going to do is we'll give our little goodbye speeches, and that'll be that.
Oh, God, I'm not good at speeches.
I'm not either. Well, okay. I can be, depending on the topic, but I won't be good with this one.
No, me either.
This will be sad.
It's going to be more like, this kind of sucks, but... Yeah.
So, yeah. But, that was a good movie. I really enjoyed watching that with you guys. And coming up with funny things, and Sarah, your facts were really helpful, and it was a good time.
Yeah, who knew? This came in handy.
Yeah, it did. Okay, so I'm going to go over some contact information before we go. If you'd like to visit our website, you can do so at potterpensive.com. And that website has all of our previous episodes and show notes. So you can download the 6 other movie commentaries we've done, as well as the 51 chapters episodes we've done so far. And if you'd like to give us any feedback on anything we've said or give your opinions, questions, comments, suggestions, queries, and theories, you can do so by emailing us at potterpensive@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to be lazy, you can just click on the Contact Us page and fill out the little form there. Social media-wise, you can join our Facebook group. Please join our Facebook group. It's where you get to connect with all of the active listeners of the podcast, as well as ourselves. And also follow us at potterpensive on Twitter, where I put up updates on new episodes and things. So... And finally, leave us a rating on iTunes and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Even though it's a little bit late, you can still subscribe and get the last few episodes as soon as they're out. All right, so until next week, with our next chapters episode, without further ado, Nitwit.
Blubber.
Oddnit.
Tweak. See you guys later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.